Good evening to you, and a merry Christmas. Why not? A merry and a holy Christmas to you all. This is a service of Holy Communion, right too. You will find all that you need for this service in this bulletin. You can't mistake it. It's got a very colourful colour, a cover, and all the music and all the things that you will need for this service is in here. And those of you who may be visiting to our church this night, you are welcome to receive at this table. It is not the church's table. It is the table of the Lord. And I hope that you will receive or feel comfortable to receive at this table of the Lord. But let's begin now by standing and singing our opening hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed is your kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we, who have known the mystery of that light on earth, may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament, Isaiah. The people who walked the darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of a deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied that nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dive before plunder. For them the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rock of their oppressors, they have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of all the tramping warriors and all that the garments rolled into blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child that has been born to us, a son given to us, and he is blessed. Wonderful counsel, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do for this time. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the book of Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety, and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
and the mountains in reply echo in their brave delight.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all of the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace, earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As many of you know, I have a somewhat distinctive car number plate. BEN-BEDE, Ben Bede. And since I got it, it's prompted a number of wonderful attempts of people trying to decipher it. They look at it and they try to make a name out of it, you know, Van Bede, or Van Bede. Or Bunbri. I was at a gas station in Lidditz about a year ago or so, not long after I got the number plate, actually, and a middle-aged woman who was in the set of pumps the other side of my car, as she was getting into her car, noticed my number plate. And she remarked, "Ah, the Venerable Bede. I should read him again." I was most impressed. And then earlier this summer, walking across the parking lot at Stauffer's, of all places, another woman spotted my car as I was getting out of it and said, "Ah, the Venerable Bede. You must be English." For the uninformed, the Venerable Bede, his mortal remains repose at the west end of Durham Cathedral in England. On the east end of the cathedral, the high altar, is St. Cuthbert. Bede wrote a prose life and a verse life of St. Cuthbert. Bede was born in the northeast of England in the latter half of the 7th century. He died in 735. He entered the monastery when he was about the age of 8 and became a monk
and then eventually a deacon, and then a scholar priest. And in his day, was considered one of the greatest scholars alive. In an age when books were a rarity, and the printing press had not yet been invented for at least another 500 years, Bede wrote books on history, on mathematics, astronomy, commentaries on the books of the Bible. Actually, it was Bede who first coined the idea of AD and BC to define time. It's still being studied today by many scholars, this one included, 1300 years after he died. I use him as a reference because Bede lived in an age when people believed in miracles, literally believed in miracles, who believed that the veil that separated this earthly world of ours from the divine world of angels was very thin and very transparent. They lived, or he lived, in an age when few people could read. So Bede lived in a time of storytellers, people who would go from village to village, hamlet to hamlet, spend time there and tell stories. And the most mystical story of all was the story of the birth of Jesus. The church where Bede worshipped as a monk, the monastery chapel, still stands. And it now forms the chancel of a larger Anglican church in Jarrow, a vital Anglican church. I worked once with the priest who was priest there. And when you go into that church and you step into the chancel area, which was the old monastery chapel, it's not hard to imagine how Christmas by Christmas, Bede the priest would have told the simple folk gathered each Christmas Eve the story you have just heard from the Gospel of Matthew. Now Joseph and Mary, obeying the census decree of the Roman Emperor Augustus, went from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem. On their arrival, they discovered that all the inns and hostels were full, and as Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit, so Joseph found a stable where Mary's child could be born. And at his birth, she wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. Bede's simple flock would have listened in awe and wonder as he told them how in the fields around Bethlehem shepherds were tending their sheep, and the night of Jesus' birth they saw a vision of an angel. They were terrified, but telling them that not to be afraid, the angel told the shepherds that the child born in Bethlehem was the long-awaited Messiah, God's anointed, the one who was to save God's people. And then the shepherds heard the voice of the heavenly choir singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The hearers would have believed that and stood in awe and wonder at Bede's words. Now, leaving their sheep, the shepherds went into the town to see this wonderful thing the angels had told them of, and having seen it, went out into the night, telling everyone they met the amazing things they had seen and heard. This is the story Bede would have told. And into this account of Matthew's telling of the story of Jesus' birth, or Luke's account rather, beat would have added elements of the story found in the Gospel of Matthew, of Joseph's dream, of the wise men from the east who followed the star until he came to rest above the place where Mary was, and there offered their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having worshipped the newborn king, they returned to their own kingdoms by another road. It's always seemed to me one of the most profound verses in the whole of the New Testament story, that the wise men returned by another road. When we encounter the holy, we return by another road. We are changed forever by the encounter. Of course, Bede knew his Bible. He knew his Bible far better than most of us do, because he wrote commentaries on it. Clergy in this room would be well served by reading some of his commentaries. It would not have concerned Bede that the two versions of Jesus' birth in the Gospels don't quite match. For the Venerable Bede considered the story of the Incarnation a divine folk song. A folk song of a mother rocking her cradle, and shepherds calling their sheep, and wise men offering their gifts. It's through the art of the storyteller that we know that Jesus was born this night in Bethlehem long ago. It's through the art of the storyteller that this night long ago was the Word made flesh, God incarnate, who came to dwell among us. And the Venerable Bede describes the Incarnation. I don't know whether you get up on a morning and you go outside and the sun is just beginning to rise, so the sky is still dark. Look to the west and you'll see the moon pretty much filling the sky, and just a little to its left and down a bit is the morning star. They're a lovely pair this time of year. They stay bright this time of year. Bede describes the Incarnation like the morning star. Christ, the morning star, who when the night of this world is past, gives the saints the promise of the light of life and opens everlasting day. Have you ever thought of Christmas Eve like that? This is why we're here this night, to celebrate Christ, the morning star, who when the night of this world is past, gives the saints the promise of the light of life and opens everlasting day. This holy night, in churches all over the world, people everywhere have gathered to listen to this sacred story, a story that has been told and retold in words and song for centuries. This is why we're here this night. But it begs a question, does it not? Is it true? Is this story true? A latter-day storyteller, a man you've probably never heard of, but is well known in England, the English poet laureate John Betjeman, died a few years ago. John Betjeman was known for his poems for ordinary men and women. And he wrote a wonderful poem he titled Christmas. I hadn't read it for many a year, and when I discovered it just a couple of weeks ago when I was beginning to think about this sermon, it unlocked for me memories of Christmases past. You know the kind of thing when Christmases always seemed to include snow, even though there was none. And Christmases seemed to go on forever. Benjamin's poem, Christmas, unlocked those kinds of memories. He opens the poem with a line, "The bells of waiting Advent ring." So he starts at the beginning of Advent. And then throughout the poem goes on to describe how modern people experience the Christmas season. It's an English poem, so you have to sort of give some license to put it into our context. I know for me, once Thanksgiving was done and the turkey was beginning to go cold, I waited for it to happen. The Christmas displays to come up in the stores. It took just a few hours, and it was as if, you know, Thanksgiving was here, and then next minute we're right in the middle of Christmas. You know, the Christmas music in the stores, the Christmas hangings, the Christmas decorations, Christmas lights appearing around the houses with their reindeers and their Santas, and scenes of the baby in a manger. Christmas candy canes. I have no idea how they got into the Christmas season, but they did. Snowmen. Of course, there wouldn't have been snowmen in Bethlehem, but who knows? It gets cold down there. And all manner of creatures and ornaments begin springing up on the lawns of people's houses. And then there was the busyness of the season. The festivities. In one weekend, maybe you all remember, in one weekend at the beginning of December at St. Edward's, we were entertained by the Hershey Handbell Choir on Friday, the Lancaster Chamber Singers on Sunday. On Saturday, that weekend in Millersville University, there was the Sounds of the Season, and on Sunday afternoon, at Highland Presbyterian Church, the Mennonite Children's Choir heralded the arrival of Christmas in song and dance. And we were hardly in Advent. That's the modern way of spending Christmas. And yet, we should take comfort by the fact that even God in Christ is present in all of them. But then there's what I call the dark side of Christmas. All these festivities taking place in a kingdom of anxiety. This country had just come out of an election. An election that unleashed a tsunami of anxiety and fear and division. And that was not lessened by events overseas. I don't know how or whether you keep in touch with these things, but the things that are going on in the rest of the world, in Syria, the refugee crisis in Aleppo, the terrorist tragedy in Berlin. And in our own parish, the loss of dear friends. I've done more funerals in the last 2 months than I've done in the last 3 years. Jay Click, Anne Klein, Alice Will, Frank Statham. Hank and I are working with a retired deacon from the Diocese of New Jersey who is on the edge of dying. And that's just a few. And the other dark side of Christmas, as Christmas draws ever nearer, there's the anxiety for some of spending their first Christmas alone. Or of simply buying presents. Buying Christmas presents can cause anxiety for many people. What to buy? For whom? And for how much? All this preparation, it seems, for an evening and a day, and then it's all over. The shops will be selling post-Christmas decorations at half price. The return counters at the stores will be busy. All this to celebrate the birth of a child 2,000 years ago. And the amazing thing is that God is present in all of it. And so, at the end of his poem, Christmas, after relating all of these things, John Betjeman asks a simple question. And is it true? Is this story true? Here's how he ends. And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around the old tissued frisberries, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous tie so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. Is the story of Jesus' birth true? Yes. But to be blunt, most biblical scholars will tell you that the stories of Jesus' birth in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke are not literally true, but rather traditions. Traditions the storytellers have woven into the story of Jesus' birth to pull us, you and me, into the larger meaning of the Gospel story. And the larger meaning of the gospel story is that in a man named Jesus, in the birth of a powerless child, the all-powerful God made God's self known to humanity. And Joseph and Mary, the shepherds and the wise men, represent all of humanity, the rich and poor, those of all nations, colors, and creeds, those of high estate and those of none, those who jump for joy and those who fear the worst, those who live in the midst of society and those who live on the margins. Whoever and whatever you are or have been or are likely to become, God broke into human history in the form of a child so that we would know and believe that we are loved by God as a child of God. For the story of Jesus' birth is true, but it's not about a string of biographical facts. The story of Jesus' birth is told to pull us into that mystical space between earth and heaven, between this world and the next, between the earthly and the divine. For us to believe that on this night, long, long ago, the grace of God did appear, and it brought salvation to all. And if there are some in these churches around the rest of the world who find it hard to believe this story of God, and my word, there are people like that, then I say to them, don't worry. Don't worry if you find it hard to believe in God or to believe in Jesus. Don't worry. Simply know that God and Jesus believes in you and loves you. And as God was man in Palestine, He lives for you and me this night in bread and wine. And Christ, the morning star, who when the night of this world is past, gives the saints the promise of the light of life and opens everlasting day, this Christ the morning star will meet us at this table every time we appear. And Christ, the morning star, will meet us in all the walks of our lives. That's why we tell this story. That's why this story is so important. It's why we are here this night. I wish you all a very holy and a blessed Christmas. Amen.
Let us stand together as a community of faith, professing our belief using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In trust, we bring before God our hopes and fears, our wonders and confusion, our joys and sorrow, asking God's blessing on our lives and on the life of the world. We pray for the church, the family of Christ throughout the world, remembering particularly all baptized to minister in this congregation and community. For the household of faith, we pray.
Be with us and bless us, O God.
For Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, for Michael, our presiding bishop, for Audrey, our own bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
We pray for our nation. Endow us with your grace and bring to us a more perfect union, enabling young and old, rich and poor, men, women, children of all colors and cultures and tongues. For our nation, we pray.
Be with us and guide us, O God.
We pray for all the nations, peoples, and tribes throughout the world. In your compassion, lead us into the way of unity and peace, and bring us to that glorious liberty which is the birthright of all your children. For the welfare of the world, we pray.
Be with us and unite us, O God.
We pray for our neighbors in this community, at work, at school, at play. Help us to be aware of those who are unemployed, without shelter, and give us compassion and determination to respond to their needs. For the community, we pray.
Be with us and help us, O God.
We pray for everyone whose body aches, whose heart is weary or frightened, whose mind is confused or cast down. Strengthen with your healing spirit all who suffer. Give us grace to be instruments of your peace. For all who suffer and struggle, we pray.
Be with us and heal us, O God.
We pray for all those who have died. Draw them to your bosom in love and to the new life of eternity, with all your saints who have shown us how to live more fully the life of Christ. For all who have entered into the new life in Christ's resurrection, we pray.
Be with us and raise us, O God. O God, who brought all things to birth in creation and gave us grace to become your daughters and sons, draw us together that we may live in the Spirit as the family of Christ to ages of ages. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you all for being here. Let me just make a reminder. I know it's Sunday tomorrow, so I expect you all at 8 o'clock, and then there'll be a 10:15. Right? I don't know why. It's Sunday, isn't it?
No?
No? Oh, all right. Those hearty ones, hearty souls who like to celebrate on Christmas Day, there is a service here at 10 o'clock, Tomorrow morning, it will be a set service, but it's here anyway. We usually have about 20, 25 people come to it, so if you feel so inclined, you're welcome. If not, just enjoy your day, right? Just enjoy your day and fall into the love of God who has made this day so special for us. Thank you for being here. Choir, thank you. You've had a long stretch, haven't you, right? We've all been at it since about 3 o'clock this afternoon, you know? So thank you, and thank you, Erica, also. And also people, Maeve, where is she? There he is. Stand up, Maeve. This little lady was in the praise band at the 4:30 service, and here she is still going strong at midnight. Good for you, Maeve. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and to be the Saviour and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which he shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with St. Matthew, St. Luke, St. John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
This is the table of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and for those who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been here long, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come. Because it is the Lord who invites you. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son to take our nature upon him, bless you in this holy season, scatter the darkness of sin, and brighten your heart with the light of his holiness. May God, who sent his angels to proclaim the glad news of the Saviour's birth, fill you with joy and make you heralds of the gospel. May God, who in the Word made flesh joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you and enfold you this day and always. Amen. Thank you.